Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, May 26, 2024. This is your award-winning Get My Nation Media Assassination, episode 1663.
This is No Agenda.
Revisiting lies and broadcasting almost live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where I'm looking out my window and the ocean hasn't risen. What am I doing here? I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
All right, this is where everyone gets to listen to us as we've sounded for the past 5 or 6 years, and wait until you hear the rest of the show. It will sound remarkably different. It's the big climate change special, John.
Yeah, you put this together based on using the new Bing.io search engine. You found a bunch of old stuff, and you couldn't get it. Now you're telling us you couldn't get past show 100. You actually filled the whole show up.
Yes, I started at the first. I searched for global warming, bingit.io, which anybody can put together a clip show, by the way. Hint, hint. Any topic you want works really well. You can also embed stuff into your favorite social network. So the first mention of global warming was November 30th, 2007.
Okay.
2007.
That was a while ago.
That was the first mention when, but I think, and that's probably our first clip up when you're talking about how nothing, you know, it was like there was no change. It was supposed to be horrible weather and there was only one hurricane. And this is consistent throughout the entire first 100 episodes, which takes us up to just about 2009. And that had 2 hours. I'm like, I got to stop here. And that was only global warming. It wasn't climate change even. I went ahead to like 2010 to just throw in a couple of things that I have like two clips just to throw in some extra stuff. But it's insane how nothing has changed. It's all about getting rid of meat.
It's always about the meat.
And you can see all these things have changed over time. Like we went from cow farts to cow burps all of a sudden. That changed.
Yeah, the cow farts didn't get very far.
Yeah. And I think it's just beautiful that we have this capability now to do this so we can revisit every single mention of global warming just in the first couple of years, which
we got 10 more shows to do on this.
easily we can do it. All right, we'll kick it off. I'm sorry?
I'm going to say if you can get this much material, although it's the same material recycled, obviously.
Exactly.
Well, not by us, by them.
Well, what's interesting is the amount of things that I had completely forgotten about. It's some good revisitation of just the source material when it all kicked off. It was all very early on in the game, and you'll sit there and go, wow, nothing has really changed. Those guys are great. That's the main point. I want you to think those guys are great. Let's kick it off by going back to the very beginning, episode 4.
Don't be a denier. The science is in. Science!
You know, in 2005, when everyone was really jacked up about global warming, there was these 26 hurricanes hit the U.S. And so everybody's thinking, you know, the whole climate change and all this
We're
other stuff.
We're fucked. Run for the hills.
Run for the hill. So Colorado State, they were one of these, you know, these all these great meteorologist area, you know, arenas or I don't know what they are, but these schools that have a lot of meteorologists in them, and they're big shots.
Meteorology.
Anyway, Colorado
schools.
State predicted 17 were going to hit this year. It's going to be horrible, and it's getting worse and worse and worse because of global warming. One.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't think of more than one.
One. No, one hit the states. There was a few that hit, you know, Central America, but even then it wasn't that many. So it was a dud. So I'm thinking these, you know, climatologists and all these meteorologists, these guys don't know anything.
And we're still waiting for the huge superstorm that is supposed to hit the west coast of continental Europe and the east coast of the UK.
Science!
Yeah, well, a lot of people think it's just a scam. I mean, it's like, I think there is a climate change happening. You can tell it. I mean, you've talked to winemakers anywhere in the world, they'll tell you this. Those things have changed, but it's improved things for the most part.
For wine, that's the good news.
Oh, yeah, especially the German wines. Man, these things have come on.
Really?
German wines, which are always like, you know, they've always made good, sweet white wines. The reds have never been any good. But now, but and even this week, whites are always kind of, you know, hit and miss. But in the last, I don't know, the last almost up to the last 10 years, they're making tremendous red wines, which is really weird. Nobody even believes it until it's proven to them. And they're making this just one great vintage after another of some of these just terrific white wines that are just, and they're well priced, and it's kind of an overlooked area because people don't understand them. They keep changing their labeling laws. And I'm just stunned. And I think this is the same thing's going to happen in Oregon, Washington, especially Oregon Pinots, and maybe Burgundy. It looks like Burgundy's having a string of really great, and which is an area that make Pinot Noir, and it's always underripe, and they're crappy for the most part, except the really good ones.
And are these young vintages that you're talking about that are really good, or the older vintages?
No, they're starting around, in Burgundy, it started around, about 99, you know, something like that, maybe 95, 96. Somewhere around the mid 90s, but by the beginning of the turn of the century, it was almost like they're hitting every year as a great year. 2005 being the most recent super year in Burgundy, Bordeaux, and every place else. It's just, you know, you just drink these wines when you get a hold of one, even though they're not ready to drink yet. And you go, holy crap, I haven't tasted anything like this forever.
Well, next time I'm in town, we'll have to have one. And you have not introduced me to a good German wine.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, no, dude, the problem is finding a good German wine in a restaurant in San Francisco is probably a little difficult. Although I think there's probably a few places that know what they're doing.
So are we gonna have time to have dinner next week before I head back?
Yeah, Wednesday would be good.
Wednesday?
Shut up already. It's science.
Yeah, there's this, the wind changed from the north, and there's you can even track it on Google Earth. I have a cloud layer, which is fantastic to look at. It's coming down directly from the north, from Scandinavia, and it's like a low-pressure system. It dropped about an hour ago. The temperature went from 15 degrees Celsius to about 8, and hail started forming, and so it should be snowing within the next 5 hours or so.
Oh, nice.
That's crazy. It's not nice.
Well, you know, I understand it's largely due to the fact that Al Gore came out of his hole and saw his own shadow.
I'm telling you, man, we've had weather. I mean, global warming. How can you buy it? When does it start? You know, it's supposed to be happening now. It's only gotten cold. April,
well,
indeed.
Climate change, not really global warming, depending on who you talk to.
So,
now, you know, there was a report in, I think, Nature magazine. Some guy wrote an editorial saying that they did the, you know, they keep redoing the calculations. They say there's no way, no matter what we do, we can't
stop
influence
it.
The climate so much as they say. It's just a cycle.
Yeah, it goes up, it goes down. It's the earth has been, well, let's not even get into this because I don't want to deal with the email. There's some things we say, man, on this show that just generates
like
so much email. Yeah, oh yeah.
Bitch, look it up, it's science.
That. Hey, I'm making fish in my pond. Why wouldn't we make
But I'm watching, I started off at the beginning of the week with watching Bill Maher. And they're going on and then all of the, out of the blue, they're talking about some green thing and all of the blue, out of the blue, Bill Maher goes, oh, and there's one other thing we need to talk about, which is meat. People eat too much meat and meat uses so much grain and all the grain. And he doesn't talk about grass fed, which is really the trend in beef, you know, today is people don't want grain fed beef. They want grass fed. And most of these, that means a cow can graze on a, you know, otherwise useless field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually it's part of a cycle. It's very important for them to exist there. Yep. The buffalo used to do that.
Like the Netherlands. The Netherlands has cattle.
You eat grass. Yeah. You know, so where's the grain thing coming in? But it's part of the propaganda. And so Maher goes off the deep end like some vegetarian nutball about how this is the worst thing in the world. So meanwhile, a couple of days later, I'm watching a green report on one of our local stations, Channel 11, in San Francisco Bay Area. And they have this green, you know, report. And then they have special logos and some screwball correspondents that look like a bunch of...
Green report. Boom, 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 green report. Sorry.
You know, so they bring on these kind of, you know, look like vegetarian vegans. And so the woman comes on and she goes, and then the real problem is meat. And she brings up the meat thing again. Then your her thing though wasn't the fact that they eat a bunch of grain, but that they're this one here, which is always like an eye roller. This because they fart and they give off all this methane, and it's the methane from the cows that are causing global warming.
I've heard that one.
And I've heard this, but every time I hear this, I go, what are you, criminally insane to even bring this up?
Throw that person in jail, not Wesley Snipes. Are you nuts?
So anyway, but this is all part of this Green Week, and it's just like there seems to be some vegetarian undercurrent, you know, with the whole thing. And it just makes you sick to watch it because it's like obvious propaganda, and the news reporters say nothing about it, especially this idiotic methane thing from the cows. They say, and by the way, if they stop feeding them grain, they probably have less farting. They're just grass-fed, but that's beside the point. But anyway, there's nobody brings anything. Nobody questions any of this. They just parrot whatever shows up from whoever's behind the whole thing, and I'm suspicious of that. And I find the whole thing just incredibly annoying.
It is. And I
make myself clear?
I love it when you get pissed off.
The science is in!
True. Okay, then let me start right off the bat with a trend, which is huge protests in Europe over the price of gasoline and, in particular, diesel. Have you followed this at all?
About the, you know, but the diesel thing has fascinated me because even here, it started about a year ago. I noticed this, and I used to work as a petroleum chemist, so you have to, you know,
you gotta understand these things.
Well, I mean, I kind of get part of it, but this. There's a baffling aspect to it because this is not a normal situation. But about a year ago, the price of diesel started sneaking up, and it became the same price as premium gasoline.
I've made a study and I know why. At least in Europe, I know why it's happening.
All right, go.
First of all, you have a regular increase just in the raw materials, so the price of a barrel of oil is going up. But what all these governments have done, and there was a big protest in the UK 2 days ago, the French fishermen are protesting, they're cutting off the Atlantic or whatever the hell, is that all these governments have put extra tax, CO2 emission tax, on diesel. And it's an extra tax because I don't think this is true, because they say, well, diesel engines, they spew out much more CO2, which of course is related directly back to this global warming meme that is out there. And I think that, I don't know if that's the same in the States, but in Europe, that's exactly what's happening. That's why that price has been driven up so far.
I don't know of any increased tax on diesel fuel in the U.S. The price has snuck up to the price of premium, and then it started creeping above it, and now it's like 10 or 20 cents higher than premium gasoline, and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And so far as the carbon footprint of diesel,
which of course is probably not true. I mean, I think the diesel
engines these days are a lot clean of particulate from diesel fuel more than anything, but it tends to be, I don't see that as just producing more CO2 to be, I mean, just I don't see it. I don't know. I'm gonna have to do a little reading and see what the heck's going on, because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what is happening is it's making everyone's livelihood kind of hard, because you know, when you get an increase like that in your basic the basics of your business, if you're a trucker or if you need diesel for any other reason, then that's a real big problem. That's straight to your bottom line.
Well, that's passed off to the customers, and so it's a real issue. I think the only people that benefit from this, and I'm starting to notice this now, and this is kind of weird too, there might be some connection. I saw an ad the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, for the railroads. They've been advertising on the radio for a while, but now I'm seeing TV ads.
Hmm.
Bragging about how much, you know, they can carry like tons of stuff for a nickel, you know, and this, like, I'm thinking, why is it? I have never seen in my life that I can think of ads for railway transportation for products. It's just, I'm watching this going,
Yeah, in fact, if anything, it's only been commercials for transport of people.
Well, here, actually, we don't see that, even that. I guess there's some occasional Amtrak commercials. But no, this was just transporting cars in particular. But you could tell what they were getting at. They were talking about what does it cost per mile to move a ton. And it's like a lot cheaper than it is with a truck. So I don't know. There's something screwy going on. I'm sure it will come out eventually.
That's science. And science is one cold-hearted bitch with a 14-inch strap-on.
This is the great thing about actually modern media and blogging and modern magazines that use comments, because you can roll out like the most scurrilous piece of information that you know is true. I mean, global warming falls into this category with Michael Crichton. Oh, by the way, I saw it. Yes. You know, Michael Crichton came out at, you know, and he's, I saw his last interview with Charlie Rose. I have a copy. I should give it to you.
I'd like to see
all
that,
his interviews. Yeah. And he says he knew he was going to get slammed for this, but he says he thinks, as far as he concerns, a crock of crap. But, you know, you could have evidence that it's a crock of crap, but because people have subscribed, they have subscribed their personality. In other words, it's almost like, you know, when I've always felt this way with the, you know, this Mac versus PC thing that happened, or it began in 1984 and it just really never ended. And you criticize a Macintosh, and the person who has subscribed to the Macintosh by buying one and thinking it's really good, they think you're criticizing them.
Yep.
They've internalized. People have internalized outside information, and there, this is a form of materialism that is very destructive to one's personality. And this type of materialism can take the form of being materialistic about information. So you are totally, you've bought in to something to such an extreme that if anybody says it might, that you might be, or that the information might be invalid, you defend the information even if it is invalid, because you are 100% in. Yep. This is not healthy.
Hail science!
So the handyman, he's been with this house for many, many years, which is good. You know, because
it's his house.
Exactly. And he did the most recent remodeling with all the new plumbing and everything. So now he knows how everything works. He's got, you know, all the bugs. He knows where it is. So that's great. And he says something to me that I was like, really? And here it is on page 2, the inside, way at the bottom in fine, small, tiny print of the Financial Times. The United Kingdom has experienced its coldest start to winter in more than 30 years, experts said yesterday. There you go, my friend.
Global warming at its finest. Actually, I'm supposed to be up in Washington today, but I'm not, because the coldest front ever to hit the state, predicted to be the coldest days ever in Washington state are today.
And there's an ice storm on the East Coast. That's global warming for you. We're all going to die.
And it's snowing in Houston. It was snowing in New Orleans.
So, of course, that's where they spun it into climate change. But it's very important and very relevant to this very moment. Thursday and Friday in Europe, the ministers all got together and they had their big powwow, and you know, they've essentially built up the next phase of regulation that we'll have around finance and environment. They are now linked with these carbon credits. Yep. No, I told you it was coming. So.
Yeah, I know. You and these carbon credits.
Everything is going to be linked to carbon credits.
I'm all told, yeah, because carbon credits are a guilt-free version of tax.
Yeah, exactly. And
like
the
this crazy... It's just like you're paying taxes and you're supposed to feel good about it.
Well, no, what the analogy is paying a thin person money so you don't have to go on a diet. You know, it's stupid. Because all that anyone ever talks about is you know, the credits. You buy the credits, but it doesn't actually reduce anything, because somewhere, someone has to produce less carbon emissions to fulfill the credit that you've purchased. So everyone's just buying the credits. That's what it's all about. And they've got it all tricked out, man. You know, Eastern...
How come we're not doing this? How come we don't have some sort of a deal?
What, the U.S.?
No, you and me.
A carbon deal?
Well, why aren't we selling credits? I mean,
well, I'm telling you, we should totally be doing this, because these carbon credit exchanges are popping up everywhere. Like, it reminds me a lot in the mid '90s of we had May East and May West. Remember, everyone was I built a NOC in Amsterdam, for Christ's sake. It was the thing to do, to have an exchange of bandwidth. This is the next thing. You got to have an exchange of carbon credits. We can run it on an Excel spreadsheet. Google spreadsheet, something like that.
And what kills me is I was on a website the other day. It says, would you like to buy carbon credits to visit this site or something?
So while this is taking place, this 2-day meeting, where they decide, okay, they're going to put 200 billion euros into the European economy, even though that's only half of what Germany has to put in and is failing with in its own country by itself. But then they have all these carbon credits, which is essentially about a 30 billion euro tax, which is going to be levied on corporations, new tax. And there are over 600 scientists who are preparing now to sue Al Gore over and the IPCC over their bogus global warming report, which of course almost gets zero press anywhere. But 600 PhDs, dude. I mean, this is serious business.
Well, you know what the reason is because I think they have been making this claim. And I run into it all the time. And people, when we talk about it on the show, somebody will write in, well, you don't know. The IPCC said this and that. And why are you even making these assertions?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, a lot of scientists.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that people in our audience actually use the word assertions?
Well, not those particular people.
I just want to make sure.
I very rarely use the word.
I like it though. We should use that more often.
Yes, we should. Anyway, so I think there's a lot of people out there who are, either climatologists or they're experts in some way, shape, or form about, and they have been put into the same sack because of this notion that everybody agrees. Agrees.
Yeah. The discussion is over. We have consensus.
But it's more than consensus. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Nobody disagrees with this. Not one single person. So you're a PhD who maybe has some thoughts on it and you have some other kinds of data, and your friends come up to you at the cocktail party and they go on about putting you, pigeonholing you with this other
stuff. But it's even worse. It's even worse. If you do that as a PhD or a researcher, your research funding gets pulled. That's why people are so quiet about it, because they're afraid that their money's going to go away.
Well, the lawsuits. I think the more people should join the lawsuit. I'm sure there's more than 600 that are irked about this.
In fact, there's about 30,000, I believe, but that's not all PhDs. These are just the PhDs. The Business and Media Institute, I have no idea who they are, but this is a story I just got.
Oh, we'll get to know who they are. They're a bunch of right-wing nuts that don't believe in any of this stuff.
Okay. Is that true?
I don't know. No, I'm just going to tell you.
Well, they have data. They have data. So I'm just going to presume the data is right for the sake of argument. The Business and Media Institute analyzed 205 network news stories about global warming or climate change between July 1st, 2007 and December 31st, 2007. They found that only 20% of the stories even mentioned there were any alternative opinions to the so-called consensus on the issues. And this just goes on and on and on about how, it's pretty much the media just jumped on and said, okay, we're all going to die. Hey, roll some of those polar bear footage. Come on, let's get that out. That's good shit.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly.
So
CBS was the worst. Let's see. 151 people used by the network to promote global warming hysteria. And 28 people who even questioned it somewhat.
Somewhat. Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Questioned it somewhat. Well, it's could crazy. Be bullshit.
Yeah. And it's amazing what's taking place. Our financial system is going to be based on this lie. granted, hey, I'm all for saving the earth. I'm all for less pollution. No doubt about it. But
let's do something about China. They're polluting California from a distance.
Yeah. There's plenty we can do and should be doing. But this whole idea of buying credits so that you can continue to pollute, that somewhere someone down the line, like my children's children's children, will then apparently have to produce less. They're talking about
plant a tree.
Yeah, they're talking about a 20% reduction promise by all of the EU in carbon emissions. 20%.
No, that's good. It'll screw them.
Tell your fake internet girlfriend you're going to be AFK for about 10 minutes because it's motherfucking science time.
You blog the Gideon Rachman story in the Financial Times. He's a columnist, and he said he was talking about the, you know, the possibility of an, you know, tongue in cheek article about the New World Order, etc.
Oh, right, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. So there's a follow-up to that. I was wondering.
He's like
if
your pal. Don't you know him?
No. You've got to read his follow-up that he posted on his blog.
Okay.
I'll just read you the conclusion. Because you know what happened is he says I couldn't believe the amount of email that he got from out there. He says, you know, hundreds of pieces of email. Here's his conclusions. There's an undeniable amount of anger and hatred out there directed at everything from the United Nations to big business to Barack Obama. These people can read, but they cannot think, he says. So he's not my buddy, dude. It gets worse. The end of days crowd is very strong. I would say that about a third of the emails I got referred me to the book of Revelation, in which apparently it is all foretold. Three, there's a lot of people who believe not only that global warming is a hoax, but that it is actually a conspiracy. The fact that the most influential reports on climate change have been produced by an intergovernmental panel, the IPCC, sponsored by the UN, fuels this theory. The idea is that the UN is perpetuating a climate change hoax to provide an excuse to impose a world government on America. I am a part of it, apparently, he says. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Anyway, so he winds up, he does have a funny line at the end here. Something positive has come out of this experience. If the newspaper industry really goes down the pan, I now have a business plan. I will claim to be a former member of the Bilderberg Illuminati Council on Foreign Relations, UN Zionist establishment, and write a book revealing the inside story of a plot to form a world government. It will sell millions.
In the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option. I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
Obama picks climate specialist as science advisor.
Oh, don't even get me started on that one. Yeah. I think so. I haven't been able to find the link, but somewhere I heard some or I read someone that said, Al Gore said, these colder periods are entirely indicative of global warming.
I know. Fantastic. I get it. Every time we bring this up on the show quite a bit.
I love doing it.
I always get an email from somebody saying it's natural to be colder during global warming. You know, it's
yeah, of course typical. It is.
Makes nothing but sense.
It's natural for it to be colder during global warming. Yes, I understand. I totally get it.
So
that is quite interesting.
And, well, the guy who sent me the note. He says global warming, climate change, they're trying to change the term themselves, is going to result in really weird, erratic weather. And I'm thinking, because I don't know, I mean, there, if you start reading, because I did this as a project once, I read all the New York Times newspapers from about 1858 to about 1868.
How long did that take you?
It took a long time. It took a number of months. And I was collecting stories. That may not have been the period. It might have been from 1868 to 1878, but it was during around the Civil War, and I'm not sure. I think the Times was in business then. I think it was the time I was reading. Anyways, I was looking at all these little articles.
Well, you read the originals, of course, when they came out in 1886. So
of course, but I lost. You know, my mom threw them away. So anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm reading this, and there's talk about erratic weather. I mean, if you start reading the history of weather in the United States, it's been erratic since day one. You know, storms of frogs. You know, there'd be something happening in North Dakota, and it's just like rained frogs. You know, all over the place. And you know, I guess there were frogs. You know, people had this. You know, you couldn't get outside without stepping on a bunch of frogs that were raining down for some unknown reason. Nobody even knew where the frogs came from. And I mean, I remember that one distinctly. Going, it was a real head shaker. And there's all kinds of, you know, weird. Well, look at what happened. The Mormon legend about the those locusts. If you've ever seen one of those bugs, that the big ones, the monster,
they're scary,
the size of a rat.
Yeah, they're scary.
And apparently, they came in, you know, in some weather situation, and they just gobbled up the state of Utah, which is still a desert. And I mean, this is nothing new. This erratic weather we've had, and the biggest hurricanes we've had are in the past. And there's that hurricane that hit Connecticut, some, you know, around the turn of the century or sometime in the, you know. I think it was like, I can't remember the date, but it was 100 years ago. And So this is bull. I mean, you know, there's right now it's snowing
in Vegas. In Vegas, it's snowing. It's snowing in Vegas.
Yeah, it's snowing in Vegas. This is just rat weather. This is what we have.
Science.
So weather-wise, we are freezing our tits off here in the United Kingdom.
I'm cooking here in Northern California.
God, in the Netherlands, they're now they do this whenever it really, really gets cold, and I haven't heard this chatter for at least a decade. But then they start threatening with cranking up the 11-city natural ice canal race, which is famous in the Netherlands, where you know it's all done on natural ice on canals under and around bridges, and it's 11 cities. It's hundreds of kilometers. You know, people lose their toes, their fingers, their lives, but it's a huge, huge cultural deal. And I hope it happens again, but just goes to show that there's something funky going on.
Well, I know they do that in Ottawa City. Of course, they don't. You know, it's not. It's always freezing.
Yeah, but this is like Hans. This is the legend of Hans Brinker in the Silver Skates, right? This is what that is about. This is that story.
Yeah. So it freezes that bad that those all those canals get frozen over.
Well, it hasn't. It was only
It freezing over now.
The freezing has really started now. So now everyone's talking about cranking up the competition. But the last time. You know, it had been a while until, of course, Al Gore proclaimed global warming. That's when it, you know, luckily we have the 11-city canal race coming back.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the, I've always said to people, you know, the day that the term paperless office was coined, if you had invested in paper mills right then. You'd have made a fortune.
Well, you know what my dad always says, the paperless office is as likely as the paperless toilet.
Science!
So much mainstream media attention being paid to stuff like this stupid spaghetti monster hitting the wind turbine. And, you know, we've got space sounds from outer space and Obama wants to accelerate and put us on the moon. Like, didn't we already see that movie before? But anyway, we got to get on the moon. I'm thinking that
Obama's a fractal of Kennedy.
Right. Well, here's the scenario. The scenario is, you know, of course, there's more and more dissent coming from amongst the slaves saying, wait a minute, global warming. Yeah, OK, we got to protect our Earth. But hold on a second. What are all these taxes for this unproven theory of yours? And what they're going to do next is they're going to have space aliens communicate to us and tell us that we're killing our world and carbon credits are good for us. Something like that is in the works.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be a hard one to pull off.
Are you kidding me?
Only a maniac would think that could work.
Okay.
I am in outer space, and we must tell you, Earthlings.
Science!
Top of the news. Let me get to the story. It's breaking as we speak.
Oh, okay.
There's coming one after another.
Wait a minute. Breaking news.
This is No Agenda.
We have breaking news. John C. Dvorak with breaking news.
breaking news in this case is no pun intended, because we're talking about cow flatulence again and sheep belching. So there's a breaking aspect to it.
Okay, hit me.
Apparently, according to all these articles have just showed up. In fact, in today's Wall Street Journal, it turns out that sheep belching may account for 12% of man-made global warming.
Okay, and this is in the Wall Street Journal, you say?
Yeah, today's Wall Street Journal, big story on sheep belching, because the sheep apparently belch methane. And then if I was looking this up a little bit, and according to one story, 12% of Australian greenhouse gases come from livestock flatulence. Again, another breaking story. Meanwhile, so I'm looking up all these different stories, and I run, and you know, if you start scratching the surface of global warming, or as they now call it, climate change, because you know the other word was getting ridiculed.
wasn't working anymore.
Wasn't working, but I like it. I still like it. Global warming. It sounds better. So if you scratch the surface of it, you keep coming up with the same thing: vegans with an agenda and vegetarians. As though somebody came up with this neat idea some years ago that if you get onto this global warming kick, then you can attack livestock because at some point, you know, because of their belching and farting, you could attribute global warming to them. And so I run into the
newspaper in Ontario called The Standard. St. Catharines is the town, St. Catharines Standard. And I think the headline kind of like says it all, and it's about global warming, but the headline is, we need to solve the, now quote marks, meat problem.
Ah, yes. I have a meat problem that I need solving too. And you can email me. This is unbelievable, but it makes so much sense because, you know, we know that this satellite failed to separate from the payload from the cone.
How ironic.
Yeah, this was the big fail. This was the satellite that was actually going to measure the sheep belching and cow flatulence as a part of man-made climate change from space. You know, it's out of control.
I wonder what was going on during the era where the entire Western plains were covered with millions and millions and millions of bison.
Well, they you know, surely you know that bison...
They must have farted.
No, they don't fart, man. No. By the way, I have done quite a bit of sheep shearing in my day. When I was much younger, we lived just south of Amsterdam in a small farming village. And it was a lot of fun, really. You know, the old-fashioned way with shears. And I have held many a sheep between my legs. There's a great drop for you. I've held many a sheep between my legs, but I've never heard one belch, ever. Have you?
Well, no. Actually, we have a sheep.
And does he belch?
I've never noticed it. Hmm. Maybe when they go, bah, that's actually a belch.
Well, I think I can tie a couple things together.
Sounds like a belch.
The meat problem, I like that you've latched on to that, because it hit me earlier this week that the smart grid, it has to do with energy power, but it has to do with a lot more. And I started looking into the smart grid. Now, a lot of the money for the smart grid will be dished out by an outfit called, I'm sure you've heard of them, the Western Area Power Administration. Have you heard of them?
No, actually, I haven't heard of them.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, the Western Area Power Administration, I'm just reading from their website, wapa.gov, part of the government. As a part of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, which, of course, is the big stimulus package. It grants the Western Area Power Administration the authority to borrow up to $3.25 billion from the U.S. Treasury. It has a whole bunch of... basically, they hand out the grants. And so as I'm looking through, you know, just going down as deep as I can, right?
Any grants we can get?
Well, interesting. So they're handing out a lot of money to GE and IBM. These are the two corporations who are going to receive most of this smart grid money. And IBM writes about, well, here's a little piece from IBM as it pertains to their grant. The world is becoming instrumented. By 2010, there will be a billion transistors per human, each one costing 1/10 millionth of a cent. The world is becoming interconnected with a trillion networked things, cars, roadways, pipelines, appliances, pharmaceuticals, and even livestock. The amount of information created by those interactions grows exponentially. And as you look through it, a part of this smart grid will be tracking livestock.
Ah.
So, of course, how do you track livestock? And also livestock feed, I'm sure, is going to be a part of it. So, when you track livestock, it's very simple because even my pets are chipped. They all have a little chip inserted, and it's an RFID chip, and they can track each individual piece of meat, all a part of the meat problem.
The science is in!
Did you know that Gordon Brown was in Washington? Did any of that reach you amidst all of this Proposition 8 and Britney Spears news?
All we know is that apparently Gordon Brown was supposed to meet with Obama, and Obama says it's snowing, so they call it a snow day.
Really? Oh, man.
And they never had the meeting. That's the last I heard. Maybe they had the meeting since.
Well, there were a couple of snow days being called. Nancy Pelosi was supposed to speak at Al Gore. Tony Blair was there at the global warming conference. Of course, she got snowed out, couldn't land the global warming conference.
Global warming snowed out.
And do you have any idea who this man is?
Yes, we have. It appears their agenda is political.
Well, I don't care what their agenda is. This is science. I won't be scared into not doing my research.
This man is not your normal radical.
Prince Charles, who just when I thought the guy was going to be okay, from AP, Britain's Prince Charles warned on Thursday, mankind has 100 months or less to save the planet from a climate-caused disaster.
Didn't they say this like a couple years ago?
100 months or less.
Here's what bothers me. We had a story that we have a climate change junkie on the on blog. Mm-hmm. He's always, every time you post any skepticism, he posts something, you know, else. It says we're all doomed. But the one that gets me is the more recent mention of this guy, climate change expert Nicholas Stern, who's told 2,000 climate scientists meeting in Copenhagen that if they fail to clearly tell humanity what it faces if global temperatures reach the upper range of forecasts made by the IPCC, which is the, which we have
United, which is, who started all this, yeah,
United Nations Intergovernment Panel for Climate Change and Destroying All Western Economies, which should be the real title. He says there's been a lot of scientific evidence. He goes on and on. He says new findings show that these projections were vastly understated, and everybody, oh, it's worse than we thought. What I'm thinking when I read this stuff is, can't you get this right? I mean, it's like worse than we thought. It's better than we thought. It's worse than we thought. Where are these numbers are so solid? Why do they keep upgrading and changing them in flux? I mean, if we're so solidly, you know, we have strong evidence that's irrefutable and everyone agrees. Well, did everyone agree that it just changed?
I can't believe that Prince Charles is not on the front page of every single newspaper with this. Listen to what he's saying. The best projections tell us that we have less than 100 months to alter our behavior before we risk catastrophic climate change and the unimaginable horrors that this would bring. What are those horrors, you ask, John? Any difficulties which the world faces today will be nothing compared to the full effects which global warming will have on the worldwide economy, he said. It will result in vast movements of people escaping either flooding or droughts. In uncertain production of foods and lack of water, and of course, increasing social instability and potential conflict. It will affect the well-being of every man, woman, and child on our planet.
And what's happening is the science is screaming at us.
And the papers here, again, the George Monbiot. From The Guardian.
That guy's a communist.
He wrote a book. Someone sent me a link to his book on Amazon. Are you familiar with his book?
No.
Manifesto of a new World Order.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, it's a big red book. Manifesto for a New World Order. Okay.
Now I can't, you know, I read that guy and it's the only one of the few writers, I don't read him that much, but I run into his stuff because, you know, he's in The Guardian, you know, which is a red paper. And so I'm reading this stuff and I can see why some people maybe don't like my commentary about the Macintosh. Because you actually start, your blood starts to boil about halfway through it, mainly in his case, because I know how to write propaganda and I can see him using this technique to befuddle the poor reader.
Article from the Telegraph, who are onto this. What's worrying the globalists are all the signs that the world's politicians' coverage on Copenhagen in December to discuss the successor to the Kyoto Protocol under the guidance of the UN, IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. There'll be so much disagreement that they won't be able to get more drastic measures to cut carbon emissions. So the name of the game last week, according to this article, as we see from a sample of quotations, was to win headlines by claiming everything is far worse than previously supposed. Sea level rises by 2100 could be much greater than the 59 centimeters predicted by the last IPCC report. Global warming could kill off 85% of the Amazon rainforest, much more than previously predicted. The ice caps in Greenland and Antarctica are melting much faster than predicted. The number of people dying from heat could be twice as many as predicted. This is out of control.
So what they've actually saying here, as again, which I brought up in the last show, is that they don't know what they're talking about.
No,
because if all their predictions are wrong, why aren't they wrong again?
I mean, obviously,
they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Read this article from the Telegraph. It's in the show notes. It will open up your eyes. There was a whole bunch of dignitaries were in New York at a climate conference, including the current president of the EU, the crazy Czech guy who says global warming is a hoax, and no one reported on it. It's like no one, not a single report.
This is why the newspapers are folding.
Yeah, because they don't suck. Get it. I mean, because they suck.
Why don't we get, it's like everything is like directed. It's like there's somebody orchestrating everything, and the newspapers are part of the orchestration. So we don't get a broad spectrum of opinion. It's all targeted. You know, everything has got to be this way. It's got to be that way. It's all knee jerk. It's unbelievable to me. And then these guys are moaning and groaning about losing their jobs.
Yeah. Well, how about you just suck at your job?
I can't take it anymore. Talk about something else.
It is possible it could happen. I'm waiting for the first bailout of a newspaper. You watch. That's how crazy this world has become. The government will bail out, even though that would be unconstitutional. It's going to happen.
It would be unconstitutional.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it has to be unconstitutional.
Yeah, but like the Constitution means anything these
days.
Why
don't they bail out the Catholic Church?
Still no extra reporting on Baxter International.
Oh, yeah. There we go. There's another thing. Where are these stories? I think there was one story in MSNBC had.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us a link, or you sent it to me.
Yeah, so Baxter International, which purposely mixed up flu vaccination with bird flu virus, and they have now admitted it was a live virus.
Yeah, so they had mixed up the regular flu vaccine with a live bird flu virus. And coincidentally, this is the only company that has a vaccine for bird flu.
No, it's not the only company. I've got to correct you.
Okay, well, it's one of the companies that has a stockpile of bird flu
and deals,
vaccine.
Deals in place, billions
and
of dollars
place,
of deals.
But first, you've got to infect the public.
Yeah, otherwise you can't sell it.
Because bird flu doesn't seem to be catching on.
No, it's the meme is not traveling fast enough yet.
Powered by science.
We didn't talk about this on the last show, although it was au courant at the moment. Lawmakers started earlier this week. That would be, like people in Congress and people who you supposedly elected and are supposedly doing shit for you. They're starting to have hearings about energy and global warming bill that would, of course, revolutionize the way we produce and use energy and how we're taxed for it. And the last time we had this type of bill was acid rain, I guess, was the scam at the time. And actually, the smog, we got rid of a lot of the smog, which is why people are buying into this crap. So the laws are coming, and they will be taxable, and you'll be paying taxes on anything, any use of carbon. What a scam. Make the pig with genetically modified pigness and then charge people for the pig farts. I mean, these guys got it so locked down.
Whatever happened to acid rain?
Acid rain. Acid rain. It was a meme and it went away. And
I remember that acid rain meme because I remember one of these 60 Minutes shows. They're saying, oh, the statues of Italy are all dissolving because of acid rain.
Was Fox News around then? I didn't know that.
No, it was like 60 Minutes. It was like some report. Acid rain's dissolving all the statues of Europe. And you're just imagining these things. Oh, I'm dissolving.
Oh, no.
And then they'd find some old statue that was all screwed up looking and say, look what happened.
Yeah. Well, we had the great ice age that was coming. We had all of that. Oh, and
there's a coincidental thing that's interesting to me, that it's the climatologists, which is a fairly new discipline. Once they got a hold of this global warming thing, they start getting money. They had just have it in their grasp. They're just not going to let this baby go.
Hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in research grants and all kinds of dough, of course.
Yeah,
global warming
dough.
We should be on that shit. Absolutely.
I know. I don't understand why we're not.
We're
should be
idiots.
Big time promoters of this crap just to get as much money as we can.
In the morning.
We are doing it so wrong. We should be like Jackie Chan. Do like Jackie does, man.
It's like sell out at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, sell out, man. Just sell the hep out.
Darn. So
we can't live with ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we don't do it.
There's a great story on AP, which, of course, we'll get. It's this guy has a book coming out next week. He's the former Food and Drug Administration chief in command. And I'm paraphrasing this article now. But here's a direct quote from him, I guess, in the book. The food industry has worked out what works. They know what drives people to keep on eating. In the next great public health campaign of changing how we view food and the food industry, it has to be a part of it. Basically, what he's saying in this book is how the food industry has figured out through neuroscience that the combination of fat and sugar, sparks up dopamine in your old noggin there. That's your little pleasure spot there, the same that gets hit by alcohol and other fine products available in the wild. And that essentially what this former FDA chief is saying is you're hooked on crap and we know it.
That's science. And science is one cold-hearted bitch with a 14-inch strap on.
Here we go. Hydropower disaster for global warming. Large dams have dramatic consequences. Ecosystems are destroyed and numerous people are made homeless, often without adequate resettlement. But it is yet little known that large-scale hydroelectricity is a major contributor to global warming.
What?
The reservoirs could, despite their clean image, be even more devastating for our climate than fossil fuel plants. A few years ago, I spent a month, and it goes on and on. And I'm thinking two things. One, is this guy serious? Or, and by the way, let me go down two graphs or three graphs. He says Mega Hydro has an atrocious record. The World Commission on Dams, WCD, consisting of experts, opposition, and industry, was installed to produce an independent review of large dams. The WCD estimates in 2000 that 40 to 80 million people have been displaced worldwide. 80 million? Anyway, the seems unlikely. I mean, just the number doesn't sound right. Maybe in China. Whatever the case is, this could have been, this kind of could be a piece of propaganda put out by the oil industry, obviously, to, keep people on the right track to using fossil fuel. But I don't think so. I think this is actually just some typical reactionary in the sense of we can't do anything. Well, let's just cover ourselves and put ourselves in a cave somewhere and ride it out.
Yeah, if it's not the hydroelectric power, it's bovine flatulence.
Oh, that's the class. Well, see, the thing to me that this whole global warming thing always boils down to is veganism. It's at some point, you don't care what nutball you're watching, or if you're watching The Green Planet, they have a whole net channel now on the Dish Network and elsewhere called Green.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bunch of horrible shows that are self-serving, except Emeril's is actually pretty good because he's still just cooking. Emeril Green, get it?
Yeah.
And then they have the guy who does, I got a disc for you. I'll send you with a couple of these shows on it. Just like
all the other ones you sent me. Yeah.
But at the point, at some point, it always becomes vegetarianism. I mean, it's always related. There's always a vegetarian angle, and then it gets kind of to veganism. And let's get rid of the herds of cattle and let's just eat, oats.
Let's eat dirt.
It's always that element. I've never seen anybody that doesn't have that element in there.
Let's eat dirt and chalk.
I believe they're behind the whole thing. PETA, the vegans, and the crackpots at Whole Foods. The whole.
I got to tell you, I don't talk bad about PETA at all because those people frighten me to death. Those are the ones that will wind up actually killing you. No, I'm very afraid of. Of really radical act, and look, I love animals, but there are some very, very radical elements out there in the animal activism space, and they kill people.
Yeah, well, because people are meaningless crap.
Yeah, it's all about the animals. So, along the lines of global warming, you want to hear some earth-shattering news?
What?
Scientists from the United Nations, IPCC, have now determined that the Earth will be cooling for the next three decades. Now, these are the same people that brought you global warming, now known as climate change. Quote, addressing the Washington policymakers in Seattle, Washington, Dr. Don Easterbrook said the shifting of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, that's PDO for short, from its warm mode to its cool mode virtually assures global cooling for the next 25 to 30 years and means the global warming of the past 30 years is over. The announcement by NASA that the PDO, that's the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, has shifted from its warm mode to its cool mode is right on schedule as predicted by past climate and PDO changes, and then there's some references, and is not an oddity superimposed upon and masking the predicted severe warming by the IPCC. This has significant implications for the future and indicates that the IPCC climate models were wrong in their prediction of global temperatures soaring 1 degree Fahrenheit per decade for the rest of the century. Ba-da-da. Doesn't matter. No one else will hear about it, John. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm blogging it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. No one else will hear about it.
Yeah, with bada bing. So
I'll send you the link.
You're kidding me.
No, of course not.
I missed that one. When did that come out? These guys are just unbelievable.
This is December 7th, actually, is when this came out.
It came out December 7th, and it hasn't been.
I didn't catch it until
about
just
suppressed.
Now. Uh-huh. Mm. But this is, you know, this whole shifting of the poles and the solar winds and the diminishing of the magnetism of the poles, all of this goes back to 2002. So this is before Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. NASA and other scientists were saying, oh, this will change the climate. It could make it warmer or cooler. You know, but they were literally saying it's that is the cause, not man-made. You know, it's all over the news now. It's mainstream publications. It's just, you know, it's no one's doing anything with it. Yeah, maybe. But we're still all going to die if we don't, you know, stop our cows from farting and stop generating power from the ocean. Stop eating meat. Yeah,
that's basically where it boils down to. Stop eating meat. Because there are animals. I mean, this is people, of course, who anthropomorphize the, you know, the all animals. From my wife's has it there is because they watch too many Disney cartoons with all these talking animals.
And, usually sounding a lot like Eddie Murphy.
In the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option. I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
You have something called Fat People Clip.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is we can save this for another real news segment, or we can do this one. This kind of changes the direction of the show a little bit. But this is a news report that came out like a week ago. Now, everything has to have a global warming angle.
Well, yes,
so now the news, and this is an actual news report that was done on, I think it was KPIX and in San Francisco. And they're blaming.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. I just started the clip prematurely.
Oh, okay. Play the clip.
Kip Doe on why researchers say obesity is bad for the environment.
Oh, yeah. Obesity and global warming, both heavy topics now linked by a new study from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. It says people who weigh more tend to drive more and eat more. And all that food, it's shipped on average 1,500 miles from where it's grown to your plate. Fat people, researchers contend, are killing the planet more
yes.
so than those who are thin.
All right, finally something I can stand behind. Now you're talking. Kill the fat people. This is good. Now we're really in this.
The funny thing about this report, which went a lot longer, by the way, I didn't want to play the whole thing. There's a bunch of puns in throughout because the reporter couldn't take it too seriously. And then throughout the report, all they showed was the fattest
people
imaginable. The TV guys love to show this. And, you know, you never see their heads. It's just either a shot of their big
butt ass, yeah.
or their big gut that's hanging over, bouncing off their knees.
But what people got to realize is that this is exactly where we're headed. And, yeah, we laugh about it now. But it's no joking matter because they literally, they're already doing it in the United Kingdom with the with parents, you know, they can take your kids away from you if they're obese or if they're deemed obese, and they're going to do it under all of these new rules and regulations. You know, hey man, you're too fat. You're killing the planet. You're antisocial. That's antisocial behavior. We got to cite you for that. And by the way, look at this lovely camp we have all set up. Why don't you come over here and we'll train that all off for you.
So what else you got on your list?
I'm looking for the audio or preferably video. So I'm not going to read this whole thing because I have the transcript. But I'll do it on our next show. Maybe someone can help me find the actual source material of Al Gore lying to Congress. Representative Blackburn was questioning Al Gore at the global warming legislation hearings, which, you know, we talked about this. So now watch out, because here it comes. Here come all the taxes on everything that emits carbon, including the actual words coming out of your cake hole. And he talks to, I guess it's a he, right? Blackburn?
I think so.
He talks Gore completely into a corner, basically making him say or admit that he is profiting from all of his green initiatives, and just reading the transcript it's beautiful. But what happens is, so here it is. I'll just read this. So you're a partner at a venture capital firm. They've invested $1 billion in 40 companies that are going to benefit from cap and trade legislation. Remember that. So is the legislation that we're discussing here today, is that something you are personally going to benefit from? And then so the transcript goes, Al Gore, sigh. I believe that the transition to a green economy is good for our economy and good for all of us. And I've invested in it.
You need to have the lisp in your voice to make that really work. And I can just see him sighing just like a 12-year-old.
I know. That's exactly why I want to have the real source material. So I have invested in it. But every penny that... I can't do the lisp. Every penny that I've made, I've put into a nonprofit. The Alliance for Climate Protection, to spread awareness of why we have to take on this challenge. And Congresswoman, there you go, Congresswoman, if you believe the reason that I have been working on this issue for 30 years is because of greed, you don't know me. And then Blackburn comes back, says, no, sir, I'm not making accusations. I'm asking questions that have been asked of me and individuals, constituents that were seeking a point of clarity. So I'm asking, so here it comes. Every penny that I've made has gone to it, my nonprofit. Every penny from the movie, the book, from any investments, from renewable energy, I've been willing to put my money where my mouth is. Do you think there's something wrong with being active in business in this country? So he immediately throws the, you know, is doing business bad? So he's out and outright lying that it's all in a nonprofit, because it's not. He's making tons of dough off of this. And he left the White House with $2 million reportedly in his pocket. And now he so far has invested $35 million of his own money in for-profit endeavors. And he's sitting there saying to Congress, no, this is all nonprofit. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, everyone who listens to the show know that we're no fans of Al Gore.
Using science.
Newsnight on the BBC this week. They had a complete documentary on PowerShift 09.
Oh, nice.
Now, powershift.org, people can go out there and check it out. It's a green activists.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the government has taken over this particular conference, and they loaded it up with Obama people. The keynoter was the EPA woman, Paul Podesta, one of the major staffers, you know, second in command of one of these other guys, looked like the organizer from the way they had this thing structured, the way they did the show, this documentary. Bill Clinton was there. Everybody was loaded up. There was loaded up with these guys. And here's what I'm watching this thing thinking, well, this is just another. And they got all these kids. It's a bunch of young people. And they're getting them all pumped up with, you know, this green stuff and, you know, global warming.
Mm.
And so then they jump to showing some of the behind the scenes seminars. You know, they always have the breakouts.
Oh, of course.
So the breakouts are training the kids on civil disobedience. Resisting arrest, how to do sit-ins properly, how to lock arms, how to do passive resistance. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. And I would have, and anybody who happens to be one of those people, I'd like to ask a question. Since when does the government train the youth to do these sorts of things? The first thing I thought of was either Nazi youth or the young kind.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this was American youth or British youth?
The first thing I thought of was either Nazi youth or the young Communist Party. This is training the youth. Well, when is the government training?
Wait. Was this British youth or American youth? I'm confused.
American youth. This was all Americans. This show, as you know, is a British show. But this was in the United States, this beating. And it was our government training kids to do sit-ins, how to lock arms, how to resist arrest.
But against who? There's resisting against the government?
There you go. Apparently not. I would think it's resisting against big business who doesn't do what they're supposed to do.
Oh, my
That's the
goodness.
Only thing I can think.
Oh, my
only
goodness.
Thing I can think.
Yeah.
It was stunning. I was shocked.
I saw Rahm Emanuel. He was interviewed on CNBC, and I didn't see the whole interview. I just saw a soundbite. But one of his answers was literally, you know, we're in a fantastic place right now where there's an opportunity to figure out what the relationship really should be between big business and government. I'm like, oh, my God, the guy's just out and out saying it, that they want to have control. There's got to be some kind of takeover or some kind of relationship.
Yeah, and if you don't knuckle under, then the kids are going to be sent over there to protest, sit in, you know, harass you, essentially. This is harassment. I mean, they're training the kids to be harassers, because people who haven't signed on to 100% of the Green Initiative. And, of course, the whole thing boiled down once again because of the keynoter and everybody else brought it up. Cap and trade, carbon credits, cap and trade.
John Broder wrote his article, Seeking to Save the Planet with a Thesaurus. And I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs. The problem with global warming, some environmentalists believe, is, quote, global warming. The term turns people off. Now, we've talked about this because, remember, it went from global warming to climate change. Listen to what's next. The term turns people off, fostering images of shaggy-haired liberals, economic sacrifice, and complex scientific disputes, according to extensive polling and focus group sessions conducted by EcoAmerica, a nonprofit environmental marketing and messaging firm in Washington. This is how the shit's being sold to you.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of grim warnings about global warming, the firm advises to talk about our deteriorating atmosphere. Drop discussions of carbon dioxide and bring up moving away from the dirty fuels of the past. Don't confuse people with cap and trade. Use terms like cap and cash back or pollution reduction refund. I got a hard on, John. This is fantastic.
Wow, this is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Pollution reduction refund. This will happen at the supermarket where you're used to getting cash back. You will be cashing back, and on your receipt, you will be congratulated for money you gave to the pollution reduction refund something.
Yeah. Right.
When you buy your Monsanto products in your local supermarket.
You have to send me a link to this. This is good stuff.
Well, if you look at the show notes in a minute.
But this is what's going on and this kind of thing. And it's because, you know, people, when you give your donation to dvorak.org/Anna, you have to realize that both Adam and I are actually involved in the media in such a way that we know how some of these mechanisms work, because we work with public relations companies all the time and the kind of skills they have and how they do, you know, grassroots things
that
are
how
fake.
They do it.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda in the morning.
Yeah, wow. Cap and trade. Crap and trade, as the one guy said.
Long time.
By the way, you cussed a lot back in the day.
I know. I really did. Have you noticed how clean I am these days?
Yes, you're much cleaner, but also the sound varied so much because we're using Skype and we're from different locations. And
for some reason, I had a whole period there where I really liked echo.
Like, I don't know what.
Yeah, you were, trying to get to a Mexican station.
I have no idea what I was thinking. Like, oh, reverb, that sounds really good. You know, and sometimes you'd have a really big booming voice. I remember specifically where I had the Curry condo in San Francisco. We'd both be on Comcast, and we would have to reconnect 8 times an episode. Actually, one of the clips, I don't remember which one, I had to cut out or reconnect because I'd keep saying, are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Are you there?
And then Skype would go all like low grade. As we say,
it's and do the squishing thing too is always taking place.
And we always said it's amazing any of this stuff works. And it's amazing that it still works at all, honestly.
Well, we do want to mention that this is not, we still need donations, and we hope that people go to noagendashow.net and click on the donation thing, or go to noagendadonations.com and click there, or thework.org/NA and look at the old stuff. Anything that helps, especially if you like this show, we'd like to hear some donations and hear from you.
Yes, and we want to thank Tonta Neal for the artwork, and thank Sir Deanonymous for for Bingit.io. And we will be mentioning all of the donors on the next show, which will be 1664, which will be a regular episode back on.
Yeah, with a long donation segment, we hope.
Please, everybody, we hope. Thank you all very much. NoAgendaDonations.com. And we're going to head back into it, and we'll be back at the end of the show. Stay tuned. Here comes more climate change bullcrap.
So if I look at the grand overview of everything that's going on and all the horseshit that we're following when it comes to climate change, here's kind of what I'm thinking. Here's the theory that I'm working on. Call it a conspiracy theory if you must. So clearly, there is knowledge that in the next few years, and probably it'll coincide with 2012. Go ahead, say it. Oh, brother. Clearly there is knowledge that there are big changes afoot. And it makes sense. There are changes. The magnetic poles are reversing. We've got all kinds of massive magnetic and solar activity. You know, the Earth is changing. The Earth changes all the time. It's evolved throughout its history, only 6,000 years, as you know. And I believe that there is actual knowledge that lots of crap is going to happen, and that there will be weird. I'm not calling for destruction and devastation. We're all going to die. But yeah, we could see flooding in weird places. We could totally see shit coming down. And I think that that's why all these stories are being launched. And that's why Al Gore can say with such certainty that the science is clear. And,
while you're at it, play the clip I gave you.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second.
This is Joy Behar on Larry King.
Is she from the View? Joy Behar.
She's the comedian. She's a comedian that is one of the women on the View.
Okay. Well, here we go. She's on Larry King, and here's Joy Behar.
She's going to be bitching about.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
She's going to be bitching about Rush Limbaugh.
And this pertains to 2012 somehow?
Just play it.
There you go.
There's no problem. I mean, this guy, Rush Limbaugh, I used to work with him years ago, and I sort of am friendly with him in a certain weird kind of way.
They did pills together.
And he constantly is talking about how there is no global warming. Every climatologist in the world says there's global warming. Every scientist has said there is a problem. We're all on this earth together, and this guy goes out and says that there's no global warming. Who is he? What is he talking about? And who are these ditto heads that agree with him, I'd like to know? Aren't they breathing the same air that we are?
I don't think he has a degree in meteorology.
Oh, I don't think so.
What a bonehead. Meteorology.
That has nothing to do with climate.
So, of course, that implies that either Al Gore has a degree in meteorology.
I think he has a degree in astrology.
That Joy has a degree. But this is the thing that gets me about this stuff, which is
every single one.
This is what the problem is with this argument, and why it sets off a bunch of alarms and red flags with me. When you start saying, because this is like going to Israel and getting an agreement, you know, with anybody, they're just going to be debating forever. And then the scientists don't all agree on anything.
Isn't that the definition of science?
Sorry?
Isn't that almost the definition of science, that it's not truth?
It's debatable.
Yeah.
So how does every, with no exception, every climatologist and every scientist, this is bull. I mean, when you start hearing that, you know something's wrong.
Dr. Tyson, what do you make of all this?
My calculations show that scientifically, we're screwed.
Geneva says within days they might declare level 6 for the first time in their history.
For what?
Yeah, for the flu. Swine flu.
Give up on it? Why don't they just pack it in and say they were wrong?
They can't, apparently. They just can't admit it. And it's like these guys' jobs depend on it. Oh, crap. You know, we started this. Now we have to finish
global warming.
So it's North America, Australia, and Chile. 21,940 cases, 125 deaths. Dude, that's less than normal flu. And that's the pandemic? They can't give up because they've got to support all these deals with the pharmaceuticals for all of these stupid inoculations, for the vaccinations.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week or last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do 3 shots a year.
Jesus,
now.
You're kidding me.
No, it was like an article, 3 shots a year. They're going to advocate three flu shots. What do you need 3 flu? You only need 1 during the flu season.
Well, the question is advocate or mandate. That's the question.
They would in the U.S., they have a lot of trouble getting a mandated flu shot because that's just not going to happen.
It's unconstitutional.
Especially after that fiasco with the swine flu sometime, I think it was back in the 70s, where they had the swine flu is going to kill
76,
everybody.
I think it
and
was.
And the shots killed more people than the flu did.
Yep. 76, I believe, John.
So I'm reading about this guy. Do you know who the guy, do you know the name of the, I'm asking this question in hopes that you don't, because I figure, you know, who, I think a lot of us are skeptical about things, always forget some of the prime movers. You know who's the guy, the father of global warming?
Oh, I think you sent me this in the show notes. Go ahead. I'll pretend I don't
know.
Yes,
James Hansen.
Is he a NASA guy? Was that the story?
Yeah, he's the NASA climatologist who made some testimony in 1988 in front of Congress claiming that man-made global warming was taking place and we have to do something about it. And then Gore became his pal, and so did...
Okay, that part I didn't know. He was actually the guy that inspired... scam artist Gore to come up with his PowerPoint. Is that how it worked?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the inspiration. So anyway, so I'm just reading through something. And then I run into this old posting from January, which I don't know, did I miss it or was it, did it get no press? I didn't even blog it that I know. I don't think. Maybe it's on the blog. I should go look. But how his supervisor, John Theon, sent out this note after, I guess he's retired or he's not the supervisor. He doesn't work at NASA anymore. And he says that Hansen was an embarrassment to NASA. He was never muzzled. And he said, and this guy, Theon, says that all climate models are useless. And let me just read a couple of things from the note that was sent out. Retired senior NASA atmospheric scientist John Theon, the former supervisor of James Hansen, NASA's vocal man-made global warming fear soothsayer, has now publicly declared himself a skeptic and declared that Hansen... Oh, here's the reason I dug this up is because Hansen just was in the news a couple of days ago saying, it's worse than I thought. We're doomed.
we're all going to die.
and he's targeted coal. So he was arrested with Daryl Hannah up in West Virginia picketing some coal company.
Oh, with Daryl Hannah, right?
Yeah. And so he was up there getting arrested with Daryl Hannah. Anyway, the guy says,
by the way, if you got to get arrested, it might as well be with her.
Yeah, get handcuffed to her. And he declared that Hansen embarrassed NASA with his alarming climate claims and said Hansen was never muzzled. Theon joins the rapidly growing ranks on and on. But here's the one, the interesting quote is here. First of all, he says he likes to join the group that's a skeptic, this guy. He says, note, NASA scientist James Hansen created a worldwide media frenzy with his dire climate warning, his calls for trials against those who dissent against man-made global warming. He's one of the guys that thinks anyone who says it, like what I'm saying now, I should be arrested.
Yeah.
And his claims that he was allegedly... And his claims that he was allegedly muzzled by the Bush administration despite doing 1,400 on-the-job media interviews.
Yes, science!
The title of this is Gag the Internet. Apparently, Cass Sunstein, a Harvard law professor who has been appointed to a post within the Obama administration that will grant him powers, as the article says, that are merely mind-boggling. It explicitly supports using the courts to impose a chilling effect on speech that might hurt someone's feelings. So this is how he's working on stifling free speech on the internet.
It's a good effect. It might work.
It might. He has a new book which is coming out. Advanced copies, of course, were read by the journalist who wrote this article. His book is called "On Rumors: How Falsehoods Spread, Why We Believe Them, What Can Be Done." It's going out to reviewers ahead of its September publication date, but considering the prominence with which Sunstein is about to be endowed, and he has been chosen by President Obama to head the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. John, finally, the Ministry of Truth. It's here.
It's about time.
The White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. This has been reported in the Wall Street Journal, but of course it's you haven't really heard about this because we're more concerned with Michael Jackson's murder. And let me see if I can find... here we go. He worries, that's Sunstein, that we're headed for a future in which, quote, people's beliefs are a product of social networks working as echo chambers in which false rumors spread like wildfire. That future, though already here, according to Sunstein, we hardly need to imagine a world, however, in which people and institutions are being harmed by the rapid spread of damaging falsehoods via the internet. We live in that world. What might be done to reduce the harm? Well... he questions the libel standard. Basically, it comes down to a notify and take
that
down.
That puts you and myself in the driver's seat when it comes to some of those early lawsuits.
Yeah, well.
It's always somebody saying something nasty about us.
Yeah, right.
And it hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings.
My feelings are so freaking hurt, John. What he's going for is a libel. So a system of... notify and takedown. So we'll have takedown notices for untruths on the internet. So if you write an untruth, notify and takedown.
What are you going to do? This is going to be the government dole because they're going to have to hire millions of people to do this. I want a job.
I got to study some law. I got to pass the bar. I got to get into some kind of law program.
Takedown notice for. And by the way, how does that work with global warming?
Well, of course, if you say that global warming doesn't exist, you'll get a takedown notice.
Yeah.
You'll get a total takedown notice. We were talking about, what's her name? The weird chick who was testifying. We had a sound clip of her last time.
Janine Garofalo?
She looks a bit like Janine Garofalo, but no, that's not the one. The other one.
Lisa Jackson.
Lisa Jackson, yeah. So apparently 2 years ago, the Supreme Court passed a ruling that said that the EPA, which she now heads, would be allowed to create legislation to stop greenhouse gases. But there were several other memos that basically said there's no science to support that greenhouse gases are creating, global warming.
There's also a proviso within that scenario you described that she, the head of the EPA or any head of the EPA, not just her, can define, and they talked about this in these hearings, can define anything as a greenhouse gas if they want to,
Yes.
So you could, which means helium could be a greenhouse gas.
Well, I think CO2 pretty much covers most things since that's the shit we're exhaling when we breathe. So I think they did a pretty good job.
There's going to be a tax on that. You're going to have to hold your breath.
It's law. It's fact. It's science.
There's an article that people should try to track down. I'll send you, make sure it'll be in the show notes, which is the Telegraph's article on July 11th, 2009, just came out. Climate Change, the Sun and the Oceans Do Not Lie by Christopher Booker. And he goes on and on and on what a book crock that this seems to be, especially the cap and trade. But he makes, let me just read this, a very funny first paragraph. The moves now being made by the world's political establishment to lock us into December's Copenhagen Treaty to halt global warming are as alarming as anything that's happened in our lifetimes. And last week in Italy, the various branches of our emerging world government, G8 and G20, agreed in principle that the world must by 2050 cut its CO2 emissions in half. Britain and the U.S. are already committed to cutting their fossil fuels by more than 80%. Short of an unimaginable technological revolution, this could only be achieved by closing down virtually all of our economic activity. Yep. No electricity, no transport, no industry. All of this is being egged on by a gigantic publicity machine, by the UN, by serried ranks of government-funded scientists, by cheerleaders such as Al Gore. Last week, comparing the fight against global warming to that against Hitler's Nazis.
Go Telegraph.
And by politicians who have no idea what they are setting in train. This makes it this even odder that the runaway warming predicted by their computer models simply isn't happening. This, by the way, is being pointed out only by... There's somebody the other day that said, you know, right-wing talk radio listeners get this kind of information, and it never goes into the mainstream, and people are always baffled. That, and they cite, like, the Duke University student fake rape charges that everybody knew was phony that listens to real news, but the New York Times was still promoting running these kids out of school, and it's just typical. This particular stuff right now, I'm hearing a lot about it. They have not been able to confirm any warming whatsoever over the past 5 or 6 years, and there's no sea level rising. In there's fact, nothing going
there
on.
There are 30,000 scientists who are, and led by the guy who started the Weather Channel, who are suing Al Gore and the UN about the so-called science of global warming. You don't even hear about that.
No, of course not. Why would you?
30,000, of which 8,000 are PhDs. 30,000.
The science.
This is from our buddy Andrew Orlowski from the Register. This is quite amazing to me. The CRU, the Climatic Research Unit, which, of course, has provided the global climate data set, which is the most cited surface temperature record kept by the IPCC from the UN. So basically, this is the data that the phony baloney scientists, I can't wait for the email, the phony baloney scientists of the United Nations IPCC, of which not all were climatologists, and of course there's now, you know, 8,000-9,000 other real climatologists who are against this research. So this was the research that was used that led to eventually an Inconvenient Truth, and of course all the way down to the cap and trade legislation, and has sparked all this global warming unrest. They say they no longer have the raw data.
What?
Yeah, they don't have the raw data anymore. There was a number of freedom of information requests that were submitted for the raw data of so they're the ones that keep all the historical data of surface temperatures. And here was what they say: we are not in a position to supply data for a particular country not covered by the example agreements referred to earlier, as we have never had sufficient resources to keep track of the exact source of each individual monthly value. Apparently they don't have USB drives. Since the 1980s, we have merged the data that we have received into existing series or begun new ones, so it's impossible to say if all stations with a particular country or if all individual records would be freely available. Data storage availability in the 1980s meant we were not able to keep the multiple sources for sites, only the station series after adjustment for homogeneity issues. We therefore do not
homogeneity.
I think I've done that with someone once. We therefore do not hold the original raw data, but only the value added, i.e. homogenized data.
Manipulated. Why don't they use that word?
Yeah.
Oh.
That just blows me away.
That's a good one from Orlowski.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So the it's weird that you have to read stuff like that in the Register.
Well, I read the Register a lot because it rocks. Because of exactly
because it's a great publication, but it seems to me, you know.
Can we donate to the Register? How do they make money?
They make plenty of money. They make more money than we do.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
They should be donating to us.
So, the headline is, Global Warming Ate My Data. We've lost the numbers, says CRU, as they respond to Freedom of Information request. The world's source for global temperature records admits it's lost or destroyed all the original data that would allow third parties to...
Lost or destroyed?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what he said.
Jobs lost or destroyed.
Data lost or destroyed. So this is the actual data that spawned this whole global warming debate. It is no longer available because in the 1980s, we didn't have enough money to buy hard drives. That's basically what he's saying. That's
he could have written it on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Print it out.
Science is truth.
Mara is going to be sarcastic in response to a big debate about global warming. Oh, global warming.
Oh,
so Mara.
Yeah.
So Kathy Griffin comes in asking a semi-serious question, and Mara throws a sarcastic remark at her that, you know, she says, "Who?" And I'm going to give you some of it, but you'd have to listen to it to appreciate it. She asks, what's causing this? And then Mara sarcastically says, well, it's the Democrats, so they can ruin the economy, mocking what some right-wingers might say. She takes his comment seriously. It goes, this flies over her head. She's a comic, by the way. Flies over her head about a mile, and Mara tries to recover, but the whole thing falls apart. You can hear Mara go, bah, 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 but the whole thing falls apart because everybody gets into the fray. It is one of the funniest little scenes I saw on the show.
People are more skeptical of global warming now than they were 10 years ago, especially young people. This is really scary. Young people in great numbers think it's a hoax.
Then who is behind the hoax? Who is behind the lie?
Democrats, to make sure our economy fails.
Then how do we change it?
No, but that's what the Republicans...
Is it corporate mentality? I mean, who is perpetuating this notion that global warming is false?
The people, well, I think
a small number of skeptics who get disproportionate coverage on the media.
And some industries that don't want to be regulated.
And you notice she tries to get it, but just the Republican, they all step all over him, and the joke is lost.
Yeah, the joke is lost. I think it was that same show that he said, you know, California is in flames, you know, because of global warming. And I'm like, you know nothing about climate, jackass. It is actually because of a cooler climate that has made California extremely dry. It is exactly the opposite. And that to me, that's like huge disinformation right there. Anyway, we will continue to watch the show because it irritates us. No, and that is a form of, oh, come on, man. That's a form of, a form of entertainment. NASA is shooting off rockets to create artificial clouds in the outermost layers of the Earth's atmosphere. It's called the CARE Project, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. And they are literally creating a cloud of artificial dust over the Earth.
Why would they want to do this? This is what happens when a volcano goes off and kills everybody in the world.
And it's aluminum oxide dust particles that they'll be spreading. And maybe we can stop global warming.
This can't be about that.
Okay. All the links.
Okay, let me tell you this. I was at an event, and there was a guy from NASA, even though nobody from NASA seems to know who he was, who went off with this half-baked theory about putting up all these crazy satellites that would then open up these huge panels and block the sun. It sounded like Montgomery Burns in a Simpson episode.
That's funny.
And he's going to block the sun. And there's a bunch of people typically in the audience nodding their heads in agreement.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good.
Good idea. I'm thinking this guy is criminally insane. He should be taken out now.
Well, it gets worse. Friday, NASA will launch a spectacular mission to bomb the moon.
This is not
it's
science
about
fiction.
Time we get a bomb the moon so they could bomb the spot where we didn't land.
The L Cross mission will blast off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, carrying a missile that will blast a hole in the lunar surface at twice the speed of a bullet. And
how fast does a bullet go?
I don't know.
The bullet goes about Mach 1.5, I think, maybe.
So, and this is another one of the... So, space scientists want to see if any water, ice, or vapor is revealed in the clouds of the debris. You know what? It's just not a good idea to be shooting at the moon. It just doesn't... You know the old saying, shoot the moon? Shoot for the moon, son. Well, they're doing it. But this creating clouds, this is all part of geoengineering. And we haven't actually talked about this, but there's a lot of these kooky things, like the... expand the panels. There's also there's been talk of trying to push the Earth and move our orbit a little bit, and it's like, this is dangerous and crazy thinking. This is not a good idea. But spewing aluminium oxide into the atmosphere, or even if it's above the atmosphere, it just doesn't seem like a good idea. They'll be tracking the dust cloud for days or even months to study its behavior.
Well, maybe years of this thing. How's it going to come down? It's not going to rain. There's no rain that's going to take it out. How's it going to dissipate?
Let me see what they say. The U.S. Navy, NASA, and the U.S. Defense Department, ooh, what are they doing in this? Have made a decision to conduct one or more atmospheric tests in order to create an aluminium oxide dust cloud without the permission and, for the most part, the knowledge of the citizens of the United States. Eventually, they say, the oxide particles will return to Earth, polluting the air, water, and soil. But they don't say
that. How are they going to return to Earth?
I don't know. Well, let's see how high up it's going. We got to find out. Well, if it's kind of like, in the in that layer where the Concorde used to fly, I guess eventually it will come down to Earth. I don't like it.
No, I don't like this sort of experimentation with the... I think the United Nations should crack... Where are they in these pictures?
Oh, well...
This is an international situation. In other words, people in France... Oh, by the way, I want to thank the people from around the world who gave us money. But the people around the world... Why should this aluminum cloud be floating over their country?
Yeah, thanks, NASA.
I mean, it's obviously something... I think there's a treaty violation here. You can't just throw crap in the air like that, unnaturally, and then just because you think it's a fun experiment.
Climate.
This is Chris Matthews, Ron Reagan, and a black guy, I don't have his name, who's very, he has to hold his own against them when he brings up the climate change issue. Here it goes.
In the interest of this country, everybody knows the same thing, basically. There is a climate change problem. Anybody reads the paper thinks knows somewhere down the line. Number two, the man has something to do with number two. And number three, we got to stop depending on Arab oil or we're crazy. Okay. Well, so you got to do something about it. Right. And is the president doing something?
He is doing something. You say everyone who knows anything says that there's global climate change. I think there's serious scientific disputes of whether or not that is actually viable. But let me address your question.
You really challenge it?
Of course I really challenge it. I think we've seen what happened in East Anglia over in England where they discredited the scientific research of these people. I think that it is a gimmick.
There are people that question evolution. That doesn't mean there isn't revolution.
Oh, Chris, wait a second. So we're supposed to take scientists who have a fiduciary interest in this that could benefit them.
Oh, fiduciary interest. Nice. Nice. Good word.
Some of their grants.
This is party line.
Oh, no, this isn't party line. This is actually, I've researched this. Why should we take hook, line, and sinker with what some of these environmentalists have said about global climate change? Why don't we have an honest debate? Why don't we have the conservative voices?
The weather in Boston right now, the last X many years is the same as it used to be in Philadelphia.
Let's see, Chris.
Warmer and warmer.
It was sure warm here on the East Coast. We had blizzards. Yeah. It was one of the coldest winters on record.
Now you're discrediting yourself, Ron. Come on.
Actually, Ron Reagan, I'm actually making my point. It was one of the coldest winters we've had.
You're making a point, but it's one that discredits you.
No, it doesn't discredit
me. Ron Reagan, your thoughts.
Well, listen, weather is not climate, so let's forget about it. Climate change doesn't even have to be part of the... It isn't, Ron, and you know it as well as I do.
We're not talking about one year. We're talking about a trend line.
Forget about climate change for the moment, because we don't even have to discuss climate climate change. We can discuss national security here. Everybody knows, forget about climate change, everybody knows the future is in solar and wind and renewable, sustainable energy sources. That's where we have to be going now.
No, oh, I take such exception to that. That's such,
isn't it unbelievable?
That's bullshit. How about nuclear? There's all
kinds. Well, actually, the guy, the Republican there, he mentions that too. And then they jump on him for that. It's in fact, is the clip still? Is there still?
I got half a minute left.
Let's play the rest.
Not to the past. We got to be going to the 21st century, not the 19th.
Now, Ron Reagan, here's where I agree with you. I agree with all those, but you need to add one more component to that. You need to add nuclear energy. France has over 80% of their domestic supply supplied by nuclear energy.
How come the only thing you guys like about the French is nuclear energy?
That's about
you. Never say one thing about the French on any topic. You only eat their French fries. You make fun of their
freedom fries.
See, you guys.
Oh my God.
Anyway, this is an example of being shouted down.
Yep.
For having any kind of thoughtful consideration whatsoever, you just get shouted down by these guys. And that's how this whole thing, the science is in, everybody agrees, anybody, Matthew says, anyone who reads a newspaper agrees. In other words, the scientists the scientists don't only agree, but anyone who reads a newspaper also agrees. So everybody agrees except idiots. And the funny thing is they have these memes that they keep putting out. Arab oil, Arab oil. We don't even use it. Why don't they be honest about it and say it's Alberta oil? Most of the oil in the United States that we use is from Alberta, Canada, and Venezuela. We have very little oil from Saudi Arabia, very little. And then they throw this nasty little comment about, oh, well, if you don't believe in global warming, you don't believe in evolution either, which is a ridiculous, specious jump, leap of faith. That's a chicken shit thing to do. You know, Matthew should be ashamed of himself for even being on the air with this kind of crap.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
Indeed. I had like a jaw-dropping moment when I got this particular clip, thinking, what did anybody go over the script? Was this ad-libbed? I can't believe they even let this censors let this bit go through. Play it.
Hey, Jenna. So nice to meet Paul. Interesting guy. How much do you know about him?
Well, I lost a toe ring in him, so I'd say a lot.
No, I mean, like, what he does.
They probably didn't understand it.
Unbelievable. I'm listening to that. What?
They're doing anything they can to get ratings. How bad is it when you have something like that in your script and no one talks about it?
Nobody talks about it. Nobody cares. Nobody notices.
No.
What? To say, what can we do? I don't know. Let's get more weird.
Yeah. That show, of course, is well known for also pushing the agenda. They put global warming stuff in there. They're definitely on board with the propaganda.
Well, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're in La La. I mean, that whole the whole thing's out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So we got some climate change clips in it. We've been sitting
on. Wow. Yeah, do we? Do we?
Let's play what my climate change one and two and see what it says. I can't remember. These been in the rundown for weeks on end.
Check it out. The ice caps are melting. The polar bears are dying.
What is this from? Do you know now?
I can't remember.
A recent study.
It's not Bret Michaels by any chance, is it?
No.
By Yale and George Mason Universities found that 56% of Americans don't trust public figures like Al Gore and Sarah Palin on climate change as much as they do the local weather forecaster.
And your 7-day forecast will show those showers.
And the climate change scientists, they're scientists. They freely admit they haven't always been effective spokespeople for their cause.
I plead guilty. I don't think we've done the best job that we could have done.
Penn State's Michael Mann is one of the scientists who last year had his emails hacked and quoted worldwide by climate change skeptics as.
Yeah.
So this is this was either on Nightline or something on PBS, and they were showing the difference between the climatologists and the weather guys, meteorologists, and this debate was a very interesting debate because the meteorologists made a lot more sense than these other guys who were just
yeah
all in. I don't know. Climate change, too, and I think
there's no serious debate within the scientific community about the reality of human-caused climate change.
And no debate.
No, of course there's no debate.
It's funny because they're on a show where they're debating.
Part of your job is to convince all of us, isn't it?
I don't see my job as convincing anybody of anything.
No, you just have to believe what I say. I went to school, damn it.
I see my job as a scientist of making sure that the public discourse is informed by an accurate understanding of the science.
And that may be one reason the doubting meteorologists have had such a huge opening to convince the public otherwise.
But then again, I'm a ditch digging meteorologist. So just a bachelor of science.
This is the biggest forecast of them all, and the stakes are much higher.
All right,
whether to bring them
down. Now, I think unfortunately, I don't have the notes on this anymore. But I did a lot of research, and we'll probably bring it up in a future show. But in the 70s, and you can look this stuff up. The science was in, and all the climatologists then, of course, were predicting global cooling. Except for one guy who apparently has been with global warming the whole time, and there's another guy who's been global cooling to this day the whole time. But for the most part, and it was always climatologists that were convinced that we're going to have global cooling. It's going to be the worst thing ever. And there were huge articles in Time Magazine and Newsweek, and it was the same. And you'd hear the pitch was exactly the same.
Exact same script. Yep.
I don't know.
Well. So
this is why our Wikipedia page has been ruined by this Churba character, Churba.
So the global warming, whether true or not, there's a lot of the people who are claiming that this is horrible and happening and it's all because of us are the same people who stand to make a lot of money. And we've talked about this many times on the show. We've shamed Al Gore for his business dealings, and I'm happy to see Investor's Business Daily, which I would say is a reasonably well-regarded.
No, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, Horowitz is a huge fan of that publication, especially the weekend edition, I guess.
Okay, so here it is, titled The $10 Trillion Climate Fraud, and it outlines exactly what we have mentioned on this show. In fact, I should probably do a little...
We told you so.
So it starts right off. Well, senators from froth over Goldman Sachs and derivatives, a climate trading scheme being run out of the Chicago Climate Exchange, would make Bernie Madoff blush. And its trail leads to the White House. This is exactly what we told you. Wow, I just did something really weird. I tried to use my finger on the screen of my Mac to scroll the page. Whoa, that was strange. Thinking it was an iPad. Lost in the recent headlines is Al Gore's appearance Monday in Denver at the annual meeting of Council of Foundations, an association of the nation's philanthropic leaders. And he said, time's running out. We have to get our act together. You have a unique role in getting our act together. And it goes right on to say how
do you find it, by the way, do you find it odd that despite all the climate gate and the scandals and the arguments that are legitimate by lots of scientists, and I mean, there's just amazing number of heavy hitters that have thought this thing is something bogus about it, and they want to talk about it more, and they're not convinced that this is just. It's as though there.
As though nothing happened.
Nothing has happened.
No, nothing.
Right,
happened.
We're marching in the
right
same
ahead.
Direction.
Oh yeah.
Do you find it odd? I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a little kid covering his ears and going, I can't, I can't hear you, you know, kind of thing. It almost reminds me of that extreme.
Yeah, but John, when you have Bret Michaels possibly not appearing on the final live episodes of Celebrity Apprentice, how can you even be bothered with any of this? So this, just going back to this Gore thing. And I love that Investor's Business Daily, a very serious publication. And, you know, yeah, you're right. Let's see if anyone jumps on this. Of course they won't, because the whole thing is a scam and everybody wants in on it. He set up the Chicago Climate Exchange, which is now a part, which was this guy named Sandor. I mean, we went through all of this stuff. Who, by the way, is the guy that claims that the climate trading of carbon credits could be a $10 trillion market, which is why everyone's shutting up about it. They're like, hey, how can I get in?
But what you need to know is that the Chicago Climate Exchange was set up with grant money from the Joyce Foundation, and on the board of the Joyce Foundation was Barack Obama.
Well, really?
Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
So he's all in.
Yeah, of course he's all in. So this is, you know, so everybody's in on the scam, and
it's a form of taxation.
Well, the cap and trade will be, but then another thing that wasn't
and
reported.
And the cap and trade keeps marching forward. How can that happen?
Yeah, well, they've changed it to remove pollution. But then on Friday, and I'm sure you didn't see this reported, Atlanta-based CME Group has agreed to pay $604 million for Climate Exchange PLC. This is a London-based operator of the Chicago Climate Exchange and Chicago Climate Futures Exchange. $604 million. The combination of Climate Exchange's emission markets and ICE's futures and OTC energy markets is an important and logical strategic combination. So what they've done is they've seen that the heat is on, right? They see, oh my God, it's like, oh shit, man, you know, the heat is on and all this, and everyone's looking into Gore's investments, and, you know, and yes, there's a number of ex-Goldman guys who have built this trading company. So now they're going to hide it in another group, and they've just folded it in. And it's going to be harder to track. You know, we won't be able to point to the evil Al, because he'll be on the outside of it all. And this gets no play. Not a small deal, by the way, more than $500 million for something that doesn't even work yet.
Yeah, that's pretty amazingly expensive. That's
just based upon future possible revenues. And this is the trading desk. Right? These are this is like it's like a computer.
It's like a PC.
It's like a big ass computer that they paid a lot of money for.
The global warming is happening and humans are the cause. There's not another side of the issue.
And it turns out this guy doesn't believe in peak oil, this Holdren guy. In fact, he's come out as a staunch opponent of peak oil.
Oh, that's like, interesting.
Well, it is interesting for a number of reasons. So I go back and forth with our friend, and two things come up. Number one, they program all these climate models in Fortran, which is kind of funny. It's like a step below COBOL. And guess what's going to happen next year when their new computers are supposed to come in? Guess what's going to be in there?
What?
IBM Watson, of course. You see, this is how the propaganda works. First, you show that this thing can't be wrong. This thing is awesome. It wins Jeopardy. It's fantastic. You got to love IBM Watson. It has a personality. It talks to you. It's fantastic. And now it's going to actually come out and say, I have predicted that climate change is real. You must be careful, humans. We must reduce all greenhouse gas emissions by 83% by 2050. Final Jeopardy answer is. I guarantee you this is going to happen. Watson will be on television talking to us about climate change because no one believes the politicians but Watson. I mean, how can you argue with a Jeopardy winner? Let's be honest. So IBM is up for the contracts for the new climate change computers. That's number one. And I have a tip. I have a tip for everybody. If you are in a conversation, we should put this in one of our emails, John, if you agree with it. If you, and I verified this with our insider, peak oil, of course, is perpendicular to greenhouse gas emission reductions. Because, and I think that most people who believe in man-made climate change, the climate is changing, no doubt about it, but we've got the sun exploding, all kinds of stuff happening right now. But if you are in a conversation with someone, there's a 95% chance they also believe in peak oil. So this is how you trap them. You say, oh, you believe that we're responsible for all this climate change? Yes. You believe in peak oil? Yes. Well, then we don't have to worry, do we? Because we'll just run out of oil, and then we'll have no problem.
That's a good one.
Seriously. It's like, you don't
I like it.
This is why Holdren is against it, because he knows
And they're always really quiet about it. You never hear people yelling, hooting, and hollering about peak oil.
Right, because it's a logical inconsistency that he spotted.
Exactly, exactly.
And so he has to say, oh, God, what are we going to do about this one?
Yeah, but isn't it beautiful? You just say, hey, you believe, and I guarantee you people who believe in man-made
No, you're right. There's no, because it's the same mentality.
Yep.
The mentality is that everything we do is screwed up because we're humans and we're, you know, wrecking the place because we're just bad people who are burning.
We're burning up fossil fuels. So you say, you know what? We don't. And then problem solved. Peak oil. We'll run out of oil. Hey, we may have to walk. We may not. Unless we figure out battery technology. But we won't have to worry about greenhouse gas emissions because we won't have anything to burn. Now, will we? And watch people go, because it freezes your brain. Like, and this Holdren, he's against it. Of course he is.
Yeah, well, he's a little late. Bringing up that's funny because that's not going to work because there's no way that you can all of a sudden change gears amongst the crowd, the climate change crowd, the warmists.
Yeah,
you can't all of a sudden pull the plug on their very strong belief about peak oil.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good.
But as it comes
that's the winner for the show.
As it comes to man-made global warming, which means because of our cars and all the oil we're burning, evil oil. Because of that, we're all going to die. So we have to reduce that. Well, with peak oil, great, problem solved. Ah, good to hear peak oil again.
Oh, peak oil. We forgot all about peak. What happened to peak oil? What a crock.
It never peaked. After we said, hey, peak oil, the problem solved. No more climate change. After the oil runs out, they all went, there's no agenda.
That's no
boy.
Good.
Those no agenda boys are onto us. We got to stop. Well, if anyone has any ideas for a global warming special after we did the climate change or whatever else you can come up with, Vingit.io is a great resource, as are all the show notes, noagendashow.net. And I'm looking forward to thanking a whole bunch of people who supported this show on the next one, which will be live on Thursday.
Yep.
Yep, he says. All right, thanks.
Yep.
Very, very much appreciate you helping me with the ending here. Coming to you almost live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in Fredericksburg, Texas, FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday. Join us then live. We expect you to show up in droves, you trolls. And remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.